Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's Untold Story, we'll be talking with St. Cloud Mayor Dave Kleiss. A little while back, I stopped by his office to talk about St. Cloud's Community Outpost House for a different Untold Story of Central Minnesota, and I got about 5 or 7 minutes of the mayor talking about the cop house. But we also talked about something else that some might find as a delicate topic. We talked about racism and xenophobia in St. Cloud. And that conversation took up the better part of an hour. So today we're going to hear excerpts from that interview because xenophobia and racism are certainly issues that are gripping our country right now. And as St. Cloud has found itself playing a role on the national stage, Mayor Kleiss has an idea that might not be the answer to the whole problem, but it's certainly a step in the right direction that will create other solutions to this complex and volatile environment in which many folk find themselves struggling. It's a simple idea, really. It's called community, but it's also a very complex idea that requires action and honesty, and I dare say a good amount of compassion. And we'll get there today in our Untold Story of Central Minnesota with St. Cloud Mayor Dave Kleiss. So we'll start off talking a little about the New York Times article that came out in late June of 2019 as it lays a foundation of the perception that is at the true heart of the struggle.
The New York Times article was unfortunate for a lot of reasons. As you said, it told a piece of a story, but the vast majority of the story was absent. So when you're on a national newspaper and you have that, that piece really is only a small piece, a piece that, quite frankly, could be written in almost any city in the United States, and in fact, a lot of places in the world, because you're always going to have, this is the aspect, the piece I don't understand for me. I mean, I'm not a person, I don't understand the aspect of hate and discrimination, and I don't get it, that's not me. And that's for the most part, it's not most people. And so it's the aspect of picking something and then, telling that piece. The reporter was here in town, obviously, for a period of time, and a lot of what's in that story was well known in this area. I mean, there was a resolution that was offered to a council member wanted to do a resolution to have a moratorium on refugees. Mm-hmm. Immediately when that came out, I remember the first time I learned about it was from an actual reporter from the Star Tribune who called and said, "Do you know this?" And my first reaction was, "Well, that would be unconstitutional," and I don't agree with that. Yeah, I can't do that. And I immediately said, "Well, I would suggest rather than a resolution." Having a moratorium, a resolution of support and welcoming, as a welcoming community, and that took place. In fact, when the reporter for the New York Times called me, his first, question was that premise. Well, how come St. Cloud has this, he said, reputation for, being not welcoming? And I said, well, I wouldn't agree with that premise, that statement. So, and then and his follow-up was, well, what about this resolution? And as I just said, that resolution was rejected almost unanimously. It was replaced almost unanimously with a welcoming resolution. So that's an example for a community that's probably more reflective, at least in that case, from a governing body. That resolution was also attempted to be done by petition. Not enough signatures, again, rejected by a community. I proceeded after that and talked about a number of things that were much more reflective. I told them about the story that took place where we had the attack at the mall. That was clearly made national, international attention upon our city. It actually highlighted in those news reports. I remember very well standing in a parking lot, Chief Anderson and I, on CNN and Fox, and talking to the BBC and other news organizations. And quite frankly, some questions, similar to what I received from the New York Times, but our response, and the response, more importantly, of the community, was not reflective in a community that, created division or hate. It actually was a community that came together in unity. I remember standing, as I often do, at St. Cloud State University in between, Atwood and Stewart on the Mall, where I have been many times. And oftentimes when things have happened internationally where the community has come together and condemned those acts and have actually reached out to those who have a connection. You have a campus that has a tremendous international student population, so and a community that has, we're connected, and in some cases connected in a very personal way, especially on campus where students come from all over the world. And in that case, I recall after the Mall attack, where we as a community came together, and if you looked at what was happening at that time around the country with similar types of events, where that was not the case the next day. There was, in fact, some cases, riots, violence, tremendous deep division. You didn't see that. So on a national scale, in fact, written in stories and given on a lot of, whether it be radio and television, and I dare say I didn't go back and check the New York Times paper, but I know they were here, and I know they reported, and I think they probably reported some of that. So when I was talking to the reporter, I told him that was an example. I gave him countless examples of where people were building the community, and actually, and I gave him several names of people that he should talk to. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of individuals. Take the word of Huda Ibrahim, who is somebody who. Who has written a book, From Somalia to Snow, somebody who is a businesswoman, is an educator, who's a, somebody who has was a refugee and has got a remarkable story. When she graduated with her master's from Notre Dame and came back to the community and continues to focus on building it. She does similar to what I do. I do dinner with strangers. She does a similar type thing and does it at the library and brings people in, has conversations on things. You have Create Community, an entity that created that two administrations before me, and if you know, I've been my administration's been here for a long time, so that 13 and a half years. So that started with Larry Meyer, a mayor way back when, and its mission is to eliminate systemic racism through the systems that of those who sit around the table that come together. It's an initiative, not an organization. It strives to work as a catalyst. Its vision is to create a community that's welcoming, with welcoming and having opportunity for all, well, regardless of who you are. We have been around and part of that. A number of folks are part of that. St. Cloud State University has been a big part of it. You've got a number of folks in the faith community, the school district, our largest employer, Centricare. You have business and labor. You have a number of folks that share a vision that I think the vast majority of the community does. You have other organizations. Jugard Leadership Program. It's an organization for the last few years has been focused on taking young professionals of color and actually mentoring and educating other young professionals of color. One of the most I can't say enough about how impressed I am with that particular organization and mentoring group. There are lots of organizations and mentoring groups. There are a lot of folks that are focusing on building. You mentioned a number of employers and individuals and people. I see this all the time.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, where today we're talking with St. Cloud Mayor Dave Kleiss in a conversation about xenophobia and racism. And now as we get back into it, we're going to talk a little bit more about one of the recent failed resolutions that was brought up by members of the community.
I said, absolutely, we've spoken out. When there was a moratorium, we it was rejected and it was countered. When there were it was a petition, I said that's unconstitutional. You can't, you know, I carry a copy of the Constitution with me, and all, you know, there's nowhere in the Constitution that says that a city has the ability to naturalize a citizen or has anything to do with immigration or any of that aspect. And St. Cloud clearly doesn't have any borders with any foreign countries. I mean, the issue is, and I mentioned this several times too. In individuals, organizations, anyone that's designed to create is created for the purpose of denying somebody else their constitutional rights, denying somebody else the ability to live with the same freedoms and liberties, or is designed to create division and hate. Absolutely, I denounce and deplore that with every fiber of my being. That's an issue, but those are actions. You know, I can speak out against actions. We constantly too often speak out against people and labels, and that's where I see the label. And I told someone the other day, I just can't hate people. You aren't going to get me to do that in any way.
You're spending your time thinking of something nasty about somebody. Yeah. That's how you're spending your time.
Well, it was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean, one of the quotes that I think is I believe strongly in, and that darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So you put yourself back into that same position, and actions speak louder than words, and it's a matter of actually changing and doing things, and that's what I was telling the reporter for the Times there. I gave just several where people are actually doing something, making a difference, making those changes, having these are actions. You show what you're doing is far greater and more powerful than saying something. I'm very, social media, I know we live in this world, and and that's what it is. I think, there's a great, it's been a wonderful tool, but it's also been a very destructive tool. And, people, I think we have become less connected. We don't have those personal relationships. In fact, I've seen studies and have read a number of works that, acknowledge that that's the case. And somebody posting something and then walking away, even posting something saying, well, this was terrible, and then walking away, it's far greater to actually be showing up and doing things. I recall when the New York Times article came out, it was a Thursday the 20th, that night I was at a potluck at the Islamic Center, but in the Lake George neighborhood, it was already planned. It's not the first year it's happened. This is multiple years, so it's nothing new. It shows again that there's a sustainable presence of people trying to do something. And the Islamic Center, which used to be an elementary school, is Garfield Elementary, so it's historic in its building. It's in a neighborhood that clearly is historic. I mean, it used to be called the Tech neighborhood. Of course, now Tech's moving out this fall to a new location, but the school itself is 102 years old, so you can't say it's not a historic neighborhood. So you had neighbors there, people, they were sharing a meal over a potluck. I loved this year's focus because it was young people putting it on. They were the MCs, they were the discussion. I had a chance to talk to that group, but I also had a chance to talk to, I ran into the young woman featured in the New York Times article. Akram, and I didn't recognize her off right away from the article, but I had a chance to talk to her. We chatted a little bit that night, and then I messaged her, and we connected on the Sunday after, and we talked for over three hours over coffee. It seemed like 10 minutes. She's got a remarkable story. She's an amazing young woman who, in talking to her and hearing her story, she's been here over 5 years. She graduated from high school in Somalia at the age of 14. She came here. She worked to help support her family. Her mother is a single parent. She has five brothers and sisters, and they you know, she is attending St. Cloud State now. She's going to be student teaching at the New Tech in the fall. And she volunteered and actually worked with the kindergarten class where she's teaching and helping. But at the same time, as she said, she learned English really well because kids, you know, learn phonetically and at that age at kindergarten. And so she learned from those she was teaching. But some of what she's, you know, in fact, based on what she was doing, I suggested, and she's accepted, I'm going to have her work with our youth commission and for the city. And really, her story is what's amazing. And I said, you know, why wasn't that in the New York Times? Your story, your experience here in town. And I think I even mentioned to her, I said, you know, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you from the story because you weren't smiling. And she said, well, she goes, Mayor, I don't believe this, and you're not going to believe it, but when she was photographed, that freelance photographer came and said, and actually told her, less smile. I mean, wow, if that's not saying that there's a story there that was designed to be, and I said, well, you know, Akram, you know, that's unfortunate.
Well,
and
I think sometimes people have their own bias that they bring in there, and not necessarily an immigrant or a racial thing with this, but more like, what's the story we're looking for?
Yeah.
And of course, let's go back to just, What did the media get caught up in so quick?
Yeah.
The big flashy, the big, you know.
The imagery, yeah.
There's a problem. We've got to do something.
Yeah.
We are doing something. No, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about the problem.
Yeah.
As kind of what
well,
it's,
even the imagery there, I thought, you know, I said that's unfortunate. I can't speak. She can speak for herself, but when she's telling me this, she was on a Kira Levin did a report, and she was on there, and I think she, in her words, to the extent paraphrasing that, if I was to rate St. Cloud, she'd rate it 100%. I mean, that's parts of the story that were not told in there. You don't get a complete story, and she told me it wasn't for lack of her explaining and talking to a reporter, but it's not part of the narrative. It's the same conversation I had with the reporter there are a lot of things that, and most of my focus was, you don't take it from me. Call, and there's so many people you can talk to. I mean, I give a list of a number of people, especially new Americans who have tremendous success stories, that is the story that's missing from the New York Times article, and that's the challenge. You get a little splash on a national paper, and as a community, you're painted in a way that's not reflective. It's not ignoring the fact that people said, you know, things that I would, you know, absolutely denounce and think are wrong. Some of the quotes, although some of those quotes I didn't read until I read the story, so not given that from the reporter. I would have loved to know what was going to be in there. I would have certainly reacted, because some of that is, it's just so not reflective of what I hear from folks. You started earlier. It's the aspect of getting to know people, it's a challenging people. Not everybody. I invite strangers to my house. Not everybody's going to do that, but they can clearly in a neighborhood, have a potluck, get to know your neighbors. I mean, we create, and that's, I think, what the city does. We try to do. We try to create events where people can do that. You talked about the East Side. We have the Grand City Days, the block party. You have the National Night Out where you create opportunities. We'll come in and help you create some event if that's helpful. In a way, there's lots of ways you can get to know people and listen to their stories. We try to set up all kinds of events where people have the opportunity to engage. That's one thing we can help, so people can talk to folks that are different than them. But that's part of relationship building. You build relationships that leads to friendships. Friendships lead to trust. People you trust, you're not going to have
leads to community.
Yeah, that's
people
right.
Working together.
It works at the family level and the neighborhood level. It certainly should work at the city level. You don't have to agree with everything. That's not the aspect, but you have to have, the aspect of respect and listening and getting to know people. I don't see a downside to that, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And it's that's the building, and that you do, it's, that's hard work. That's conversation by conversation. It's not splashy, and it's just, but it's not, it's real simple too. I mean, you just have conversations, you build community that way. And and that's the other aspect of this. When you got the national story, focusing on individuals that don't share that, I'd rather rise up people that are doing things, to give the platform than give a platform for folks, that you know, have hate or division. I'd rather raise up those voices that have love and inclusion and understanding of their neighbors. I mean, the aspect of humanity. I don't see their stories being often told. Now, they're told in a lot of cases, and maybe that's just society too. They're told, but I don't see them shared all over social media. You get a negative action. I mean, it's shared like it's, you know, you're giving stronger, you're giving more voice to the angry. And for me, I'm really worried about how it undermines just our democracy. I mean, and try to engage. I always try to, boards and commissions, as I mentioned with Akron, putting her in charge of putting people on boards and commissions, empowering people, allowing them to speak for themselves and actually lead themselves. And in order to do that, and that includes from public office. But when it's so toxic, you're driving people away from that. And I talk to young groups all the time. I always say go to government meetings and take a look. And is that reflective of the way you think? Is that the reflective of your ideas? Even look at it from a demographic. Is that reflective? That should be your motivation to be involved. But so often it's so negative that people step away because, you know, it's a human nature aspect of things. I mean, I wish somebody would solve that to me. Yep. Best way to solve it is just to have conversations and have input, empower people, put people in positions where they can make those decisions.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KVSC in the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today we are talking with St. Cloud Mayor Dave Kleiss about the problems of racism and xenophobia and also the solutions to racism and xenophobia. It's community. It's building community, as Mayor Kleiss explains as he continues.
To me, that's our goal is to allow, that's why I'm a big fan, like I said earlier, the JUGuard Leadership Program, any of those mentoring organizations where young people have an opportunity to be making those decisions, not have decisions made for them. We spend too much time talking about each other and not with each other. This is the piece that's lacking in our discourse, which is causing the challenges that we have. This is not rocket science. Having a conversation with somebody is not, it's not difficult. We lack, and this is one thing I think we lack often too, is we lack empathy and understanding, and it's a quality that is so critical, and especially today, even more so. And so I tell people that, if they're, especially groups of young people I talk to, if you actually got on a city council or a county board, your voice is it will be so different than others and on those boards, and that's what's lacking. And so you have a tremendous opportunity. And I tell people too the same thing with boards and commissions. The reason I appoint people on boards and commissions, they have to be reflective of the community. You have to empower people. I don't want the decision of the Park and Recreation Board shouldn't be made by people who aren't using parks and recreation. I mean, that was one thing I learned a long time ago. I appointed Austin Lee, a young man who was 14 years old, wanted to build a skate park. So I said, you want to really get a skate park? Well, let's put you on a committee that actually has something to say about it. Put him on there at age 14. He ended up, it's funny, he ended up chairing it by the time he turned 18. We built a skate park, and of course now we're rebuilding it again, but better than it's ever been. I just talked to him or texted him a while back and said, I expect you to be here this fall, coming back. He's out in Chula Vista, California, but he's going to come back and for the next dedication. But here's somebody who got something done at 14. He didn't just focus when he was on the Park and Recreation Board and on skate parks. He focused on all parks, but he came from a youthful perspective, a perspective that wasn't on the board ever. It's interesting, when that happened, he was listed as ABC's Person of the Week. They have that on Friday nights. And if you go to YouTube and put Austin Lee in St. Cloud, Person of the Week, you'll pull up the story. But it's a remarkable story, and that perspective is something now that we have in Parks and Rec. That's the perspective I need on other boards and commissions. These are powerful committees that people I don't think realize you can create that influence. But for me, the ultimate goal is to get people in those positions where they're making the decision in the community. That's our we self-determine our representations, the wonderful beauty of our country. But, you know, it's important for people to not be discouraged to be in those positions. To me, I get often asked the question, you know, what's the greatest, thing? What thing, would you really want to, accomplish? And to me, I'd love to accomplish a greater participation in the whole politics and politics in the way of leadership, not partisan politics, but in actually having people lead in communities, whether that's council or school board or county commissioners or mayor. I'd love to have somebody. I mean, it's a lot different. From a demographic aspect, replace in a way that empowers them to really take the community in a direction, a new direction. And I think it's just the community has to be reflected in the leadership that is created at these levels. And we've really put a lot of emphasis on that, but that's empowering people. It's not lowering, changing standards or doing anything. It's building people up. And there's the incredible. I am always, whenever I talk to young people, whether it's at St. Cloud State University or St. Technical Community College or in elementary schools, so impressed with the caliber of individuals. I am by no means worried about, as I retire and the world being left to people. I'm actually very comfortable with that. But we gotta make sure, give them the tools to empower themselves. And that's why, some of those stories that are not being told, are those that should be lifted up, and rather than those that are the stories of division and hate and elevating those. And then it's a disagreement. Some people think, the aspect of elevating, exposes and changes. I think the aspect of elevating positive stories also motivates people to be involved more. And I'd rather have a whole bunch of people motivated to do good things, than the opposite. So it's a matter of telling those stories. We'll keep doing that. We'll do it by action and, held people accountable for their actions. That's far more important than for their words.
Absolutely, absolutely. So to go way back to when you were talking about how the city would help out if somebody wanted to have a street party or have an event, how would somebody go about getting hold of the city to do that?
You can always call. If it comes to actually events, our city clerk, you just call the clerk's office, Seth Kaufman, who also talk about empowering somebody. Seth came here, not too many years ago as an intern, and now he's our city clerk. I mean, you like to talk about rapid transition from somebody who is just a remarkable young man who has worked his way into that position, but he's in charge of that. So when it comes to street, whether it's, he's the permitting guy, city clerk is the guy that does that, or the person who does that, and so that's the person. But I always tell people, whatever your question is, and that's sometimes just call my office, and that's everything's on the web. You can get all those direct, and those are good too. But if you want to make it easy, you can email me or call me. I'll forward it on to the right folks. But I give out my number all the time, 255-7201, or you can call me at home, 253-9535. I still have a landline. One of those things, I'm up on all the other technology, but I just, it's the phone number. I graduated from a little town not too far from here, Litchfield High School, and I went into the Air Force for a period of time and came back here to college, and I have the same phone number I had, when I first moved here. So it's kind of neat. I hate to get rid of, I know I could transfer it on, but it's a landline that the number is 320-253-9535. So folks can call me at home, or out and about. Doesn't really matter. I love to talk to people and love to talk about issues and community and ways that we can, I love it. Somebody wants to come and have a block party in their neighborhood so that they can get to know their neighbors. Hey, we're all about that. So we'll figure out a way to get it done.
We've been talking with St. Cloud Mayor Dave Kleiss today on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. For links to more information on the plethora of programs and organizations that are active in the struggle to make St. Cloud a community for everyone, you can find those links, as well as the mayor's email and phone numbers once again, on the City of St. Cloud website under the mayor's office, which is www.ci.stcloud.mn.us. And then just search for the mayor. Or you can also find it on our website at kvsc.org, under the podcast and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota page, and the link to this story. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, reminding you to be kind to one another, because the world works better that way. And the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of Amper's Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.